Talking here about a father's advice to a son through all the stages of the son's life, from boyhood to adult manhood. And it turns into proverbs and good advice for an adult son who's grown up and left. Chapter 13. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. That's pretty self-evident. Oh, there he is. There's Howard.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't get here any faster because I get off work like at 2:00.
No problem, Howard. No problem. Oh, there's
I can stop bringing the food from the
wind blowing.
It takes a long time to pack it
all. A scoffer would be what we call a skeptic. Somebody who hears his father giving him advice and then laughs inside of himself and ignores it. Now, this is assuming a godly father, which is a pretty scarce commodity these days. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That would be about speaking carelessly or speaking presumptuously or giving up. Off the cup opinion without thinking it through or having all the facts. And once again, the danger of the tongue, the capacity of the tongue to do either great good or great evil. The soul of a sluggard desires and has nothing. Sluggard would be a very lazy man who won't work. The soul of a sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So this would be good advice for anybody: is settle down, get a job, work hard, be content with what you have in life, as opposed to being lazy and living off your parents or living off of welfare. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness keeps him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. So this would be a comparison of lifestyles of the godless, careless person who just goes through life without any discernment and any discrimination. The man of integrity is somebody you can't find fault in the long run. You can maybe criticize, but it won't stick. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing. And one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. That's pretty obvious that some rich people are not men of integrity and substance. And sometimes a man has all sorts of material wealth, but has no strength of character to back it. He's fake and phony and has no durability. On the other hand, there are poor people who have very little physically, but have enormous integrity and carry great weight. And so that's all about God's working in a society where there are good people and bad people mixed together. The ransom of a man's life is his riches. The poor does not hear rebuke. The man who's got a lot of money can afford attorneys and legal fees, and he can pay all the fines and get himself out of trouble time and time again. A poor man can't do that. The poor does not hear rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoices, the lamp of the wicked will be put out. So this is about light and darkness, about people who know Jesus, the light of the world, and people who don't. The ultimate fate of the wicked person is to be extinguished, to disappear from history, to be forgotten.
When I read verse 8 there, the ransom of a man's life is his riches. And I can't really grasp the whole principle behind this verse, because originally when I look at it, I think of the ransom. Ransom is basically a payment of a man's life. I would think that it would want to read, the ransom of a man's life is his life. You know, because...
if you get in trouble and you're going to go to jail or you're going to get sued or you threatened, how do you get... Who helps you? Who bails you out? Do you bail yourself out because you're rich? Do friends rush to your defense? Can you stand being put on trial? And if you are a wealthy man, you can buy yourself out of most situations. The ransom, that's not... The word ransom here doesn't mean the way I think we mean ransom today. To ransom today is to buy somebody back from slavery or bondage or bail them out of jail. I don't know about verse 8. That's a hard one.
Because, you know, like when I think about in Matthew, it says that, how does it go? If a man tries to save his life, he will lose it, but if he gives up his life, he will find it. So, you know, someone that wants to hold on to his fleshly life or the way of the world and wants to hold on to that, he'll lose his life. But if you lose that fleshly, worldly living, then you will have new life, life in Christ, a new outlook on life. You know, like 2 Corinthians 5:17, all those who are in Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come.
Right.
So that's why I was kind of thinking the
ransom. Well, I think Proverbs is more wisdom based on outward appearances. It's more about the world as seen by an ordinary observer and things that you can discern by meeting people over a lifetime. And
I put all your older meals on the top, okay?
Thank you very much.
And then one is a lamb meal. It's still good because I eat it today. But
yeah, right.
The
poor does not hear rebuke. If you go to a poor man and threaten to sue him for all he's got, he just shrugs his shoulders. He hasn't got anything, so he can't lose anything. If you sue the rich man, he's got to scramble and get his lawyers and be ready because his riches are threatened. So I think the idea here is not the same as you in the Gospels. It's a hard verse. The light of the righteous rejoices, the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Wait around a while and you'll see that rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. By pride comes only contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. If you're a proud, arrogant man, ordinarily it's pretty easy for you to get into controversies and arguments because you think you're right and the other guy's wrong, and so you're argumentative and self-justifying. The person who's wise keeps quiet and doesn't budge when he's attacked. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Well, that's about working hard and being faithful and dependable and reliable, even though you have a small income, because in the long run, you're going to be blessed by God. He can't help but bless you. On the other hand, the sneaky, devious guy who's dishonest in business can expect to lose it all because God's watching over him. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. That's a really neat verse. The only place in the Bible, other than in Genesis, where the tree of life is mentioned, the tree that imparts immortality to Adam and Eve in the garden. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you get disappointed when you are expecting something good to happen to you and it doesn't happen, when you expect a pay raise and you don't get the pay raise, when you expect help and help doesn't arrive, and your hopes are dashed, hi, how are We just started chapter 13. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When desire comes, it is a tree of life. So if you have a longing desire and it all comes true, then you're as blessed as if you'd eaten from the tree of life, which imports immortality. So at long last, your dreams come true. And you're happy all over. And dreams come true in the long run with Jesus, not necessarily in the short haul. In the short haul, we get a lot of disappointments in life and delays and hopes that are never quite fulfilled, but not in the long run, because God will make sure that the trust in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's a kind of long-term promise. He who despises the word will be destroyed. Anybody who ignores the Bible, this could be either the Bible or it could be Jesus, who is the Word of God. And back in Proverbs, before Jesus came into the world, this would have been the scriptures. When you ignore good advice, or you ignore wisdom, or you ignore the Bible, you're going to end up destroyed, because you won't have any substance. He who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The fear here doesn't mean you're cowardice. It means respect and reverence and sensitivity to God. The law of the wise is the fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. We already saw in an earlier chapter that there are snares and pitfalls and traps in the world for us, and the devil is out there to trip us up if he can, and to get us to compromise and to get us off track, because he's a killer and a murderer and a destroyer. And our staying close to Jesus and our trusting in him is our insurance policy. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to run one away from the snares of death. So this is, again, a father giving advice to his son about the way the world is, about the wisdom that the father has learned, presumably from years of experience, that he wants to give to his son. We don't have that in our culture. I don't know anybody who's had a good dad sit down with him and give him good advice based on the father's experience, because I don't know any fathers who've had good godly experience to impart. Well-intentioned sometimes. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Ooh, these really smart, I think. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Unfaithful is the person who sometimes trusts God, sometimes doesn't, and is not dependable, can't be counted on. The person who's teachable, malleable, gets God's favor. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. We respect men and women of integrity in this world whose word is good as gold, who keep their promises, who don't deceive us, who are not manipulative. We just automatically trust those people, even if they're fairly rare. But we also recognize the idiot, the fool, the person who's got a track record of bad choices in life, doesn't ever learn anything, is suffering the consequences of bad choices, and doesn't seem to have benefited from the lessons offered to him. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Well, we like good news. You like good news from a friend or a doctor or somebody whose very words bring you encouragement and help. On the other hand, we don't like bearers of bad news, people that are always suspicious or doubtful or tear us down or have nothing good to say, always critical. That's very hard to live with. We just stay away from people like that when we can. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards reproof will be honored. That's long term. Hang around a while and you'll see the difference between two individuals, the one who's teachable and the one who's not teachable. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. If you work hard, you deserve the fruit of your labors. You deserve a paycheck, a reward, a commendation, a prize, because you've worked hard and put your very best into doing something, accomplishing something. On the other hand, we know people that are foolish, that always make bad choices and don't turn away from the things in their life that are audibly, that are destructive. We know people like that all the time who are in a deep hole and can't climb out and refuse help, and they're there by their own choices, and there's a ladder out, but they don't even bother to climb it. He who walks with wise men will be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. We become like the company we keep. If you hang out with good people of integrity and of honesty and loyalty, that can't help but rub off on you. If you're going to hang out with the town drunks and the idiots and the homeless who don't want help, then they will probably drag you down if they can to their level. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. The absolute polarity in life between those who know and follow Jesus and those who don't. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, to his grandchildren, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. That's pretty powerful. In our society, we don't see a lot of good parents putting away a little money in the savings account for their children and their grandchildren. It's almost unheard of, but on the other hand, if you've got wealth and you haven't invested it or set it aside, you're going to lose it all. It's all going to go away and it won't benefit any of your family or your heirs. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but for lack of justice, there is waste. You might have a very rich garden that's capable of producing a lot of good food. The potential of your piece of land is not the whole secret. Because of the lack of justice, there is waste. So you might grow a big crop of corn or potatoes or peas or apples or whatever and lose it all because you can't get it to market or the prices are low that year. And so it's not enough to just have a fruitful piece of land or to work hard. Oftentimes people who work hard are not properly rewarded for their labor. They're underpaid, underappreciated. He who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him promptly. We don't like that teaching in the Bible of fathers training their sons and not sparing the rod and correcting the son. And this is not to be done in anger or with maliciousness, which happens. That's abuse. It means to see in your son some behavior that's self-destructive and to gently turn him around, point him in a different direction. So that's the kind of correction that's good. And if you neglect to discipline your son, he's going to get off course and stray. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. That's not about physical eating, it's about spiritual eating, really. A godly person who knows God will enjoy his food, his friendships, his times out, and be satisfied. On the other hand, the wicked person is going to maybe even be a glutton, overeat and get fat, and never be satisfied. So that God alone can give you satisfaction in life. Otherwise, it's going to elude you completely. Every wise woman builds her house. The foolish pulls it down with her hands. So here the wise and the foolish are personified as women. One woman manages her household well, takes care of mending garments and painting and fixing and cleaning and cooking and storing up and canning fruit and whatever. The woman who is careless doesn't know how to keep house, loses all that she has, ends up homeless. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. A lot of people absolutely hate God. They hate and resent God, and they blame him for their situation in life when it's their own fault, when it's their own stupid fault. We don't like to accept the consequences of our mistakes. And consequences are part of the way the universe runs, and there are good consequences and there are bad. So we are to follow a path in life that brings good consequences. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we've already seen from Proverbs. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. A root of pride in the person who's always shooting off his lips, boasting, bragging, making promises he can't keep, and so on. That's a fool. The lips of the wise will preserve them. If your lips are sealed, if you're discreet, if you don't speak out of turn, if you don't rush to pronounce judgment, then you're okay. That's the idea here. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. So if you don't have an ox to plow your field, the ox's feeding bin will be empty and you don't have to supply food. So is that a good idea to not have an ox? Well, no. If you have an ox and he works hard, you will have to feed him and you'll have to take care of him. But on the other hand, your land will be bountifully productive. This is in the day before plows, electric plows and caterpillars and diesels and all that stuff. So oxen in the old world here is how you till the land and how you grow crops. Without an oxen, you're in big trouble. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. This in courtrooms begins to be a big deal when the attorneys question to dig down to get your motives. When the judge and the attorneys look for loopholes in your arguments and look for any kind of deceitfulness or lying, which is perjury, misrepresenting the evidence or slandering the defendant. A faithful witness tells the truth. That's why when you're in the witness stand in a courtroom, the judge swears you in. I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And oftentimes that's on the Bible. So, and if you lie under oath, you're guilty of perjury, which is a serious and punishable offense. So that's the idea. That's consistent with Proverbs. A scoffer, skeptic, seeks wisdom and does not find it. A scoffer. There's all kinds of skeptics who listen to advice and ignore it. They may get very good advice from an attorney or a parent or a pastor, and they turn right around and do the opposite thing, which is kind of stupid, really, but very common. A false witness will utter lies. There's always somebody out there that will lie to you and deceive you if you're not on guard. A scoffer, skeptic, seeks wisdom and does not find it. Knowledge is easy to him who understands, That's really good. It's not difficult for a Christian to understand right and wrong and to walk with Jesus. He does not give us burdens that are too hard to carry, and he doesn't give us choices that we can't easily make. And oftentimes, the choices in life are small, individual choices. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. When you're talking to somebody who spouts out information and you know that this guy is not trustworthy, doesn't know what he's talking about, ignore him. Don't be taken in. That's the idea here. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The folly of fools is deceit. So that would mean that we need to be discerning and pay attention to who we listen to and who we follow. That makes us very different from most people around us who don't consider any of these things. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness. A stranger does not share its joy. You may carry a bitterness and pain in your heart, and unless somebody knows you well, they'll never see it. And that's part of the enigmatic nature of life. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Long run. So the righteous, the people who belong to Jesus, are oftentimes obscure, unknown, not famous during their lifetimes, but they have permanence and endurance and go right on into the kingdom of God, where they'll be honored and recognized. So there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's a very famous quotable proverb. There is a way which appears to be right to any of us, but the end result of going that way is death. That's kind of scary, because we're on a path leading to life, or alternately, by default, we're on a path that's leading to alienation and separation from God. So life is not what it seems, and the choices in life are not self-evident. You can't go by just what you see or observe. That's the idea. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. That means things can be funny and hilarious, and yet deep down inside you're carrying a lot of pain. But nevertheless, you can enjoy the moment with friends, even if you're going through a hard trial. The end of mirth may be grief. You may be in a situation which is happy and joyful, but after it's over, you may be sad and depressed because of the circumstances in your life. The black backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Wow. Consequence engine again. The backslider in heart, the man who does not take God seriously, will be filled with the consequences of his own actions. A good man will be satisfied from above. That is, God will figure out how to bless you in spite of yourself. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man considers well his steps. So that's a really neat proverb. The simple, the ordinary, undiscerning man takes everything seriously, believes everything that he hears, builds his life on hearsay, and that's dangerous, obviously. A prudent man, a man who's wise, considers what he's doing, how he's acting, where he's going, what he's saying. A wise man fears and departs from evil. A fool rages and is self-confident. He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. When you find out that your best friend has betrayed you, has been or your spouse is cheating on you or lying to you, it's a terrible betrayal. You trusted this person, they have not just let you down, they have betrayed you. That's something we all detest. A wise man fears and departs from evil. A fool rages and is self-confident. The person who boasts in what he's going to do in life and what a wonderful person he is, that's foolish. He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good, but the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Long term. Poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. That's deceptive. We look down on people who are down and out or homeless or broke or who have failed or maybe not because of their own bad choices, but by circumstances. So we tend to belittle the poor and we think of them as powerless. And the rich, a person who's rich and generous, has a lot of friends, a lot of fair weather friends who like to follow him around and benefit from his wealth. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. So the neighbor is somebody that's next door or in your life that you don't know very well, may not want to know, but at least you don't hate your neighbor just because he's your neighbor. Do they not go astray who devise evil? In other words, if you got a whole bunch of evil thoughts in your heart and you act on them and you go where they're taking you, are you not promoting evil? Mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. This doesn't mean that you're making deliberately bad choices. It can just mean that you're sneaky and devious and slippery and you don't even know it. So you're automatically making devious decisions. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Settle down and work hard and shut up and don't gossip and don't cause trouble. Get the work done. The idle chatter, particularly at work, when the employees sit around and gab, they don't get their work done and they distract all the rest of the employees. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of the fool is folly. A true witness delivers souls. A deceitful witness speaks lies. If you speak the truth honestly and you defend your brothers and sisters, very often you will deliver them from attacks, from low self-esteem, from circumstantial difficulties, but you'll bail them out, you'll help them. So that's part of what encouragement does. The crowd, in all labor there is profit, idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls, a deceitful witness speaks lies. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. His children, person who fears the Lord, respects the Lord, will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. A king who does not have some popular support is not going to last very long. It's a good idea to get behind your leaders and help them, particularly if they're good leaders. They every leader needs a quorum, needs a support group. It does not need to be attacked constantly like his, by his enemies. Today we have a president who's constantly attacked and hated and despised by his opponents, which is ridiculous because we always, in a democracy, should give our loyalty and allegiance to the man we elected. If he's not our candidate, we still support him and get behind him and back his decisions. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death. In a multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. That's about being a mature person. You can take attacks and criticism, and criticism will bounce off of you, and you're not bothered, and you have it's very difficult to provoke you to get angry or to get you to lash back or attack your attacker in kind. Ride with the storm. A sound heart is life to the body. Envy is rottenness to the bones. Motives. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. That is, God is the maker of the poor, and he loves them and protects them. And so it's not a good idea to go attack and destroy people that God is protecting. He who honors him, the person who honors God, has mercy on the needy, will show charity and kindness for the person who doesn't have anything. The wicked is banished in his wickedness. The righteous has a refuge in his death, even when he dies. Wisdom rests quietly in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. So hang around a little bit, and the motives of a person's heart will be obvious. Wisdom rests quietly in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. Truth will out. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Famous quote, righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. So nationally, we ought to be concerned about child abuse and about abortions and about the divorce rate and about dysfunctional homes and families, because those all diminish the character of a nation. King's favor is toward a wise servant. King's anger is against him who causes shame. So every government does have an interest in a good citizenship and obeying the laws and staying out of trouble. Those would be wise servants of the king. Are we wise American citizens? Do we pay our taxes? Do we obey the laws? Do we contribute to the well-being of the community? A soft answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. You've probably seen this many, many times. If somebody attacks you and insults you, and you don't lash back, but you give a soft answer, you just deflate your attacker. You can say, for example, well, what you say may well be true. God knows I don't. So it might be that the things you're saying about me are true or have some truth to them. I don't know. I am not my own defense attorney. I'll take you seriously for now and leave it to the Lord. So that's the, if you answer, if you answer in kind, when you attack back, when somebody attacks you, that's counterproductive. It does not get the attacker off your back. It only adds fuel to his attacks. And then you're self-justifying and you don't let God defend you. So a soft answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. The tongue of fools pours forth foolishness. This means that when we have a situation that needs to be resolved, it's better that we talk it through, think it through, work it through, gently, rationally, logically, without getting angry or resentful, and not giving a bunch of foolish advice that's off target. So, good people will listen to the advice of those who are more mature than they are, and understand when the advice is incorrect and when it's on target, and why a person is giving you those kinds of opinions. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. It's as if God has multiple eyes everywhere, as in the wheels of Ezekiel, for example, where there are eyes all around the rim. So God's watching every single person on the earth, and he knows the motives, and he's going to pay back in due time what you have earned, because he's keeping perfect score. But he's merciful. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Perseverance in it breaks the spirit. Perverseness, crookedness, deviousness in it breaks the spirit. We have another reference to the tree of life here. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives reproof is prudent. This again assumes that you've got a godly father who's giving you good advice, not an anti-father who's tearing you down. In the house of the righteous, there's much treasure. In the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of a fool does not do so. That means that we should be available to give good advice, to share our lives, to be transparent, and we have at our disposal the rich treasure of all the things God's done in our lives and all the lessons we've learned. And that doesn't do other people any good if we keep it to ourselves. The lips of the wise disperse or spread knowledge. Knowledge of God and knowledge of his ways. The heart of the fool doesn't do that. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Loathsome. God sees right through the hypocrisy. He hates what is offered. The prayer of the upright is his delight. You may not have money to put in the offering plate, but your prayers delight the heart of God. That's pretty profound. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. He loves him who follows righteousness. Harsh correction is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. When somebody is going obviously off track and he is corrected or chastened strongly by people who love him and care about him, then God sometimes has to resort to harsh measures to get that wayward Christian's attention. An accident, a season in jail, an illness, something that stops you dead in your tracks and makes you think things through and take course corrections. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the Son of Men. If God can look at hell and destruction from his vantage point and see everything that's going on in hell, all the people there, the story of their lives, it's an open book as far as God's concerned. So there are no secrets with God, even in hell. How much more can God discern our hearts and look at our ways? We're not in hell. We're not going to be in hell. But can God analyze our motives? Yes. Can he look at our emotions? Yes. Does he want the best for us? Yes. A scoffer does not love one who reproves him, nor will he go to the wise. The scoffer, the skeptic, is not going to go asking for good advice. He's not going to listen to people who want to correct him. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. The mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. There are people who triumph over impossible situations, maybe poor health, or a very small income, or difficult circumstances, living with a difficult spouse, or difficult parents. And yet they're always cheerful. They're always positive. We admire people like that who rise above their circumstances and manage to be cheerful and optimistic in spite of all the good reasons they would have for being depressed or angry or resentful. All the days of the afflicted are evil. He who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Great advice. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. That just speaks volumes. If you go to a Thanksgiving dinner with a whole bunch of relatives and the food is lavish and the festivities are great, and yet the conversation is all negative and critical and dispiriting, what a waste, what a terrible Thanksgiving dinner you had. On the other hand, oftentimes the greatest joy will happen when you're having a sandwich or a modest meal with a few close friends where everybody loves each other and everybody wants to help each other, and that's the complete reverse. Better is a dinner of herbs, a modest dinner where love is, than a fatted calf, expensive, with hatred. So that's very relevant. A wrathful man stirs up strife. That means the anger, a man who gets angry easy, who gets truculent and reaction suddenly, is constantly causing conflict. He who is slow to anger allays contention, soothes the troubled water. The way of the slothful man is like a hedge of thorns. Slothful means lazy. The way of the lazy person is like the hedge of thorns. The way of the upright is a highway. A wise man makes a father glad. A foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. These proverbs are contrasts between good and evil, or between good behavior and careless behavior. The person who's constantly foolish shows a lack of discernment. A man of understanding walks uprightly no matter what his circumstances are. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. When you have a difficult decision in life, go get as much advice from people that you know and trust as you possibly can. Go talk to several people when it's a big choice, and listen to them before you act. In the multitude of counselors, your decisions will be established. And if you don't seek advice when you ought to have advice, you're likely to go, plans will go astray. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due seasons. How good it is. Sometimes one word or one simple statement can lift a person, a brother or sister, out of despair or depression, or get them encouraged in life. So we have this tremendous power of the tongue to encourage and to bless, and that's in Proverbs. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season. How good it is. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. Wow. That's really about life and death and eternal reward. The word for hell here is Sheol, which means the grave or death. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, and he will establish the boundary of the widow. There is ultimate vindication and justice in the universe. Truth will win over evil, no matter what the present circumstances are. Right now in the world, it looks like evil is winning, and that the truth will never be on the throne, and that's not what the Bible says here. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. He will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Thoughts, not somebody's deeds just necessarily, but the very thoughts and intentions of the heart are open to God's scrutiny. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house. He who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. The mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. That means to think things through, to get good advice, to wait before making a decision, and to not spout off on the spur of the moment in reaction to what's going on. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. A good report makes the bones healthy. There is much beauty in the world, much that's good, and we like to have good news from our friends. The ear that hears the reprisal of life, the ear that hears the reproof of life, will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction, despises his own soul. He who heeds reproof gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and before honor is humility. We have a whole bunch of Proverbs here, one following another, and they're, in a way, some of them are quite repetitious. We go over the same subject again and again with slightly different slants and emphasis. I remember in the past when the Proverbs were all available as things you pinned up on your wall or in your office, and you'd pin up one or two or three Proverbs at a time, and you think about that proverb. Well, we've been taking Proverbs here by the dozen, so we're taking great doses, and the Proverbs are oftentimes very similar with a slightly different slant each time. So if we just keep going, we won't be following this way of looking at reality in this meticulous way that's in Proverbs. So, thank you very much. And now we get, Dave can make all the necessary corrections, comments, and Howard also.